Welcome back to Head Games Radio with Luke Jensen. We're joined by Len Dawson. I thought, Luke, you always enjoy it when we get some of these legends of the game on with us. Leonard,
how are you? There in a fetal position or what, Nick?
That's
not a good
thing.
There's only one Marv Levy, right? There's only one Marv.
There's only one Marv. Well, hey, Luke, let's continue with this. And, Len, I love your perspective as we begin to look at depth at Roger Federer. But any more comments for you, Luke, about Serena Williams and the impact, as she said, dedicating it to her sister who was murdered, and the kind of focus and just relentless, really serious demeanor yet relaxed, perfect combination of focus and relaxation.
Everything came together, Nick, right in the finals, where she was just so in tune with what she had to do on the court at the right time, playing against the top player in the world. I actually saw her watching Sharapova practice, and Sharapova was spending about 20 extra minutes alone just on her second serve that was letting her down throughout the tournament. And I think by scouting Sharapova in the warm-up before the match started, that really gave Serena not only a better outlook on what she needed to do during the match, which was attack the serve, but actually give her more confidence, saying, hey, this girl, the number one player in the world, she's not confident with her number one weapon, her serve.
And what do you think it was that took her to this level? Do you think that being able to dedicate it at such a personal level made a difference
I think that's part of it. There's no doubt that she let out all the emotions. And what she talked about in the press conference is there's so many doubters, so many critics out there saying she wasn't in shape, that she wasn't prepared. And she came out and consistently, match after match, proved everybody wrong. I think there was a big chip on her shoulder to prove to the world she was ready to play.
All right, well, moving on to Roger Federer. First time since 1980. Since Bjorn Borg in the French Open, that someone has not dropped a set in a major. What is that? What kind of accomplishment is that?
Well, especially with the amount of depth in men's tennis, the power game, guys serving over 135 miles an hour consistently, guys trying to chase this guy consistently, time and time again, this is the guy to beat. He has an all-around game. Borg did it from the baseline. You see guys like Connors, who used to hit an attacking style of baseline play, and McEnroe did attack the net. And there are so many great players through the history of the game that say this is the guy. When Rod Laver, who won two Golden Slams in 62 and 69, who won all four slams, all four of our Super Bowls in the same calendar year, and he says Roger's the best he's ever seen. So to put it in perspective, he makes really good players look really bad.
Well, final comment before we let you go, my friend, on what this means to the world when you see the twin towers, if you will, of tennis and golf at this level. What do you think is the greater accomplishment, a Tiger Woods winning his seventh consecutive and the level that he's playing at, or a Roger Federer?
I want to say they're hand in hand. What I really want to stress to not only the kids and people watching is the dedication to the sport, the dedication to their dream, and what they want to accomplish. Tiger Woods, leaving Butch Harmon and reinventing his game, and then Roger Federer, every single tournament getting better, no matter what the field does. Andy Roddick serves and volleys, works on his return of serve game, gets Jimmy Connors. Larry Stefanke, another great coach, working with Fernando Gonzalez, making him better. No one has an answer for this guy. That's why it's so interesting to watch the greats get better.
Well, Luke, again, you've been fantastic for us. We want to thank IBM IBM Advantage, Luke Jensen, and all you do, buddy. We'll check in with you in a week or so and see what's up with you.
You take care, buddy.
Thanks, buddy. Aloha. All right, now we're going to switch. Len Dawson, and I know Tom Flores, who won a couple Super Bowls, not only with the Raiders, but was a backup to one Len Dawson back in the day, to shift to the focus of course, the mental preparation for the Super Bowl. But before we get into that, Len, what is your perspective when you see people like a Luke Jensen talking about Tiger Woods and what he's accomplished and comparing it to a Roger Federer? Just how unique is this in the time and the many, many years that you covered sports?
Well, I'll tell you, I've never seen two better. And it just shows that, first of all, you have to have talent, Nick. You know, you can't manufacture that. You can get better, but you have to have that natural talent that both of these men have. But the thing about them is their dedication to what they're doing and the focus that they have when particularly in crunch time, when you're talking about in the finals, you're talking about the last round of a golf tournament. These two guys have it. They're able to focus and concentrate on their game plan, and they all have a game plan. You listen to Tiger Woods, he has a game plan. He knows exactly where he wants to hit the ball on every hole of every golf tournament because he has studied it, and most of the time he's capable of doing that. But the guy is just phenomenal. You know, both of those guys are, you know, I don't play that much tennis, but I can't imagine, Nick, I know you do, a ball coming 130 miles an hour over that net inside the lines, and you got to try to return that thing. These guys are so good. I mean, I know that they start generally at an early age, but what they have done to get to that level, you really have to focus, and you really have to train very hard and be ready. You're talking about Serena Williams. Well, she was ready. She was in shape. And she was dedicating herself to it, getting back to what she really does best. And it just shows that if you, it's the mind. Is this the mind games here, Nick? I think it is, because it's so much is between your ears on how successful you're going to be. And in order to be successful, you know, you have to dedicate yourself to working very hard to get better at all of your skills.
Well, we're joined by Tom Flores. Tom, thank you so much for taking time. I know you got a golf tournament today, and you're pretty good at that.
Well, I don't know how good I am, but I like to play.
he's not going to give away his handicap. It's true.
No.
You know what? When I watch all this poker, I think of a Tom Flores and your poker face, your ability to keep your players humble during the time when you had so many different characters on those Raiders teams. Before we talk about Lane Kiffin for a second, let's talk about how big a challenge it's going to be for Lovie Smith and Tony Dungy to keep his players focused with this two-week break.
Well, I think that's one of the major things that you have to do when you're a head coach is you come in to the venue and you try to keep your players, you know, you try to keep them on a schedule that is relatively normal within the, you know, the abnormal reality. And it's pretty tough to do. I mean, my first Super Bowl IV, Lenny was the quarterback, and you talk about a chaotic week. I mean, Lenny was accused of being involved with a gambler, and you know, he had a tragedy in his family not too long. I mean, there was so much distraction, and Lenny's being very modest when he talks about focus. That was a very focused guy that we watched in that Super Bowl. So the focus part has to be there, but yet you want them to have fun. You want your team to enjoy the experience, but not to a point where it hurts the team.
Let's talk about what you did in particular, because your team played extremely well against Dick Vermeil. We've had Dick on with you before, and in successive Super Bowls. What was the big thing that you did? Because you had a reputation on that team for so many different personalities. You didn't want them to feel constrained. So what did you do? We've heard that Tony Dungy is going to have a curfew starting Tuesday. What did you do?
Well, I did that. I had a curfew. I was going to start a curfew on Wednesday, but the captain's the team came in on Monday, no curfew on Monday, but we had an 8 o'clock meeting, and every fine started at $1,000. In those days, $1,000 was a lot of money. It didn't matter whether you were a minute late or 2 minutes late. And so we had, you know, one person late, he was 5 minutes late, and that was Jim Plunkett. So I had to fine him. But that was it. And then the captains came to me and they said, "Now you better start curfew on Tuesday night." Knowing our team, so we started on Tuesday night, 12 o'clock curfew, and then Saturday night it was 11 o'clock. And we only had one guy that broke curfew, and that was John Matuszek. And he was hiding out on Bourbon Street at 6'7", 315 pounds. He was hiding out. Yeah.
Well, that's a big surprise to me.
Yeah.
That's a real big surprise to me that the twos would do that.
Hey, yeah, the two. Well, the reason he told me, he said, "Coach," he said, "I was out making sure that everybody else was in."
Oh, it's great having leadership like that. Hey, Tom, when we come back, and we just have you, we'll let you go before 10:30, promise. We'd love to have your comment on the new head coach there in Oakland. But thank you, sir. We'll be right back on Head Games Radio with Len Dawson, Tom Flores, Super Bowl champions both on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.